We kick off hour number three. Optimism Tuesday edition, SEC tournament baseball edition. Let's get everything rolling today. If you miss any portion of the program, you can always check out the podcast. And make sure you subscribe on iTunes. That way you get them directly to your device. Danny White sat down with Volquist. We'll get into kind of some of the stuff he said.
Anything good?
Well, a lot of stuff about the renovations and stuff. That's kind of interesting. Mm. But first, let's go to the phone lines. We got Roberto on the horn up next. What's up, Berto? You're on Three and Out.
Good morning, gentlemen. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Outstanding. Did some recon this week while I was down in Florida at Disney. Everybody's worried about Tennessee everywhere.
Oh.
Ask everybody that had a different color on, a different team hat or whatever. People are legit, like, Tennessee's coming on. And that kind of leads into your point, Nate, about the Danny White stuff. I think I hated the hire. I hate a strong word. I didn't love the hire because I think he's a Richard, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I really do. And he's sports royalty, but that's probably what we needed. You know, he's a little blue bloody. And I didn't know it at the time, but that's what we need. We need somebody who can face off against the NCAA and say, hey, here's the deal. And it sounds like from everything I talked to and the people I talked to that Tennessee's willing to do that, right down to the Nico situation. And they're just going to thumb their nose at him and say, come get us then. We're going to sue the living pants off of you. But other schools, man, I mean, right down to like Ohio State, they're pissed at Tennessee. They know it's happening. Carnell Tate's coming to Tennessee, right, guys?
I hope so.
I've heard good things.
I mean, yeah, they're super nervous. Mm. That's a great thing, man. But here's the thing, guys, and this is a question more than a statement. Let's say it's Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and we sneak somebody from Oklahoma or something like that. You know, the big blue bloods of college football right now. Like, are we going to tick off the wrong people and then get sanctioned the Stone Age, or will Danny be able to hold it up? What do you guys think?
I feel like he's got the – I totally agree with you, by the way, on the blue-blooded stuff. And I think he's got the experience and cabinet to lean on to where, you know, he's – I don't think he's going to get caught by surprise. But I that's what worries me the most is that – because that's always when it seems to happen, right? Like, that's what happened to Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss. It wasn't just Bama called. It was, you know, it was Auburn also called, and everybody kind of went at this guy. He did too much too fast. And especially with the NIL situation, like, I don't know exactly where everybody stands. Like, I know where Saban stands. I know where Lane Kiffin stands. I know where Dabo stands. I don't...
You know where Kirby stands?
I think I do. Kirby's been pretty quiet about all this, but I would imagine he's in that... You know, that group of Sabanites who have done it, you know, a certain way, and it's worked for them, and we really don't want to have to open this up and, you know, compete with everybody. But and that's what makes it so fascinating. The biggest problem for me with Tennessee is Danny White inherited this, and it's not done yet. It's obviously not his fault, but I wonder what all he's even going to be able to do. I mean, Tennessee, Donnie Plowman, Boyd, they can all say, we fired everybody. We, you know, it's a brand new staff across the board. But I wonder if there's going to be some pressure from, I mean, like...
Daddy Saban.
Yeah, basically. Like, you know, he and Mark Emmett are tight. And some of these other schools that maybe say, hey, you know, we really don't want Tennessee to get too powerful too fast. If you could, you know, hit them with a two-year bowl bin or some scholarship reductions here, that'd really help us out. And that's what scares me the most. Is that,
and it probably will.
Yeah. In a perfect world, Danny White would be able to negotiate us out of this. But because of outside forces who... may or may not, but probably do have more power, especially in it, you know, in the SEC and NCAA world. It might not be possible, but we'll see. The NCAA really is also losing a crazy amount of power by the day right now.
Exactly, and that's what I think Tennessee's banking on, just internally and at Spire. I think that's what they're banking on.
Just drag it out, make it, you know, let them just weaken themselves to the point where they really have no power at all.
Yep. And Tennessee baseball, gentlemen, as far as here another, I mean, people who don't talk about baseball or not, you know, they say these people that I was speaking with are like, man, I don't really follow baseball, but that Tennessee team's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
These are from other fan bases, man. That's a good thing. As I told you a couple weeks ago, guys, Dolander was the best pitcher on the team all year, and that proved out, didn't it? Is he going to end up being National Pitcher of the Year? I think he might be.
Ooh, yeah, probably.
Yeah, I didn't notice his stat line until – I'm sorry, Nate.
Yeah, I was saying, I hope so. I mean, he definitely is going to be right there either way.
Highest whip in the country.
Lowest, you mean, right?
Well, yeah, I mean
– best.
Best. Yeah, he's the highest rated in the whip category.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize that, but I mean, the dude is giving up. That's the one that jumped out to me. 0.7, right? For people who don't understand whip, that means he allows a base runner basically six times every nine innings.
Mm-hmm.
Six total base runners per nine innings. That's an insane number. And his K to walk ratio is 10 to 1. That is an insane number.
To pound the strike zone as much as he does and not give up.
As hard as he throws.
Yeah, and not give up. Hits and runs is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have a ton of movement. That's what, I mean, he's just a great strike thrower.
Yeah, he puts it exactly where he wants it every time.
Yep. And that's something I really like about Anderson and Vitello's philosophy on all these guys. Pound the strike zone. Mm-hmm. Make the other team beat you with their bat. And 9 times out of 10 in college baseball, that's not going to happen. And that's why they're murdering people.
Yeah.
That stat about home runs versus earned runs. Have you seen that floating around, guys?
Yeah, I think we mentioned that yesterday. Tennessee's hit 133. I think that's
137.
137 home runs and given up 122 earned runs.
Yeah, 133, yeah. I think now, but
unbelievable.
But I mean that's an unreal number, and I know a lot of people in our market don't follow baseball, but like that's an unheard of number. That's literally, I don't think it's ever been done in a regular season. So, guys, I'm just really excited about Hoover this week. I'm gonna pose something to you guys, okay? If we can make a run on a national championship, would we be happy to be Mississippi State next year?
Ooh. Like, give me the natty, but then we miss Hoover next year?
Ugh. Yeah, and we suck out loud. Yes.
Yeah.
Guys, have a great day. Yeah. I'll leave you with that.
All right, thanks Brodo. I think you hang the banner.
You have to
take
it, but it's
the beautiful thing is like I don't think we have to worry about that. I'm not saying if you win the Natty this year, you're gonna be, you know, right back in Omaha next year, but I don't think there's any chance that we drop that bad with everybody that we've got. I mean, we're gonna return a lot of pitching. And it feels like, you know, that was our fear this year, right? Like, oh, we lost some really good bats, are we gonna be able to have some production from guys that haven't done it a lot? And then here comes Trey Lipscomb, and he should have been unanimous.
Ortega slept in the facility last year to get better, and is a great hitting second base.
Blake Burke is going to probably break every home run record at the University of Tennessee.
Have
if
you
he stays
guys
3 or 4 years.
Heard about this kid from Kansas?
Yes,
I don't have his name pulled up in front of me, but 46. I think it was 46 doubles. No. Something, but he had
Kendall Rogers tweeted this out last night.
Yeah, that
he's entered
Hawaiian,
the
I think so.
Yeah, entered the transfer portal. Apparently, his girlfriend goes to Arkansas,
which that's bad news. But
he needs a
but
new girlfriend.
Kendall Rogers said the team everyone needs to look out for is Tennessee.
Well, we either need to get his girlfriend in the portal also, or get him a new girlfriend.
Wow, Nate, jeez,
it's recruiting, Chris. All is fair in.
Love Maui Ahuna.
And recruiting.
His name is Maui?
Yeah.
Maui Wowie?
Yeah, shortstop. Don't know how many years of eligibility he has left, but I want the kid.
He hit 396, 16 doubles, 4 triples, 8 homers, and 48 RBI this season.
All right.
Kendall Rogers says, I pretty much expect everyone to be after him. The school everyone needs to look out for, of course, though, is Tennessee. Because we're just the destination. We're the it school right now in college baseball.
And I guess you could just plug and play Lawson wherever. He seems like the kind of guy you could do that with.
Oh, yeah.
Like Lawson, like I don't care if he's at third base, second, first base, shortstop. I mean, he'll find a spot and he'll play it pretty well.
Yeah. And Blake Burke's just going to move to first base, and I don't think you're going to miss much at all.
No. No, it should be fine.
I love Luke Lipsius, but I mean, to lose a six-year player and not really be that worried about his replacement is a pretty good thing.
Pretty good deal. Well, Danny White sat down with Volquest. I think we'll kind of start backwards and work our way back. The spring meetings are coming up. He was asked about scheduling. The same vein, SI released their permanent schedule list. We'll take a look at that, tell you what Danny White said next. Stick with us right here. More Hour 3 next. This segment brought to you by Blue Water Climate Control. Check them out online at bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. You can get a hold of their virtual dispatcher. The rapid booking. Get a person set up to come out to your place quickly. It's Knoxville's highest rated HVAC company. bluewaterclimatecontrol.com. You can book online or call them at 865-412-4557. Make sure you mention Fan Run Radio and get a discount at Blue Water Climate Control. So... Danny White did an interview with Volquest. He was asked about the ACC eliminating their divisions and the SEC spring meetings coming up in Destin. Where do you think the league is on scheduling from divisions to no divisions to pods, protecting traditional games, not protecting those games? Where are you with that topic right now? He said... there's a lot of excitement about Texas and Oklahoma joining the conference in 2025.
Yeah.
So that's their deal was latest they would join, right?
Right, right. Yeah, their deal was through 2024.
He said, we need to figure out what the schedule looks like. We haven't finalized anything yet, obviously. I think it's important as someone in that room, I need to be looking out for Tennessee's best interest.
Love to hear that, finally.
But also make sure we as a conference are doing what's right for the league and college football. We are a leader in college football. It's the best conference in America. Everyone knows that. I think the decisions we make, whether it's scheduling or a host of other things, I think we need to be good stewards of the role that we are in and make sure we are continuing to grow the game nationally. I mean, that's the right answer. Too many times in these situations, everyone just tries to do what's best for their team right in that moment, and then it sets you up for issues down the road. It's kind of like the NCAA. They always try to do what's right for themselves in a moment without thinking about future implications, mm-hmm. and that's usually a problem. Sports Illustrated put out their best attempt at three permanent opponents. This is the way it's got to go, right? Three permanent opponents.
I really don't know.
No,
I mean, I think that makes the most sense, but I don't know that that's what they'll do.
Yeah. For Tennessee, they have selected Vanderbilt,
mm-hmm.
Alabama,
damn it,
and South Carolina.
Okay. I can live with that.
I mean, I can too.
I don't love it.
I don't really love it either, but... I mean, that means no Florida every year, no Kentucky every year.
Which, that feels crazy. The Florida one especially.
Well, like
Kentucky,
said,
I could kind of take it or leave it.
For people our age, it feels weird. For old people, not so much.
Older people. We don't need to be we don't need to be mean.
Whatever. Yeah, I mean, we're getting older every day, so.
Everyone is, Nate.
Yes. It's the way time works, apparently. Vanderbilt, Alabama... It feels like they're going to give us Vanderbilt, and then feels like you're either going to get.
I think you're going to get Vanderbilt, one of South Carolina and Kentucky, and then the question is, do they want to keep those traditional East rivalries, you know, one of them, or do they really still value the third Saturday in October, which has not been competitive since 2007?
Well, Alabama obviously has Auburn, but then they have Tennessee, of course. Since, you know, I've already read Tennessee's. And they also have LSU.
Who does, Vandy?
Alabama has Auburn, Tennessee, and LSU.
I mean, they have those. They always have those anyway. Like, their current schedule has all those teams.
True, but...
I've been wondering about the Bama-LSU game, because I feel like that's a game those two fan bases really, really like.
But that's not any bigger historically than Tennessee, Florida.
No, it's bigger now.
That's a new trendy game.
But that's the game that they both take the bye week before that game.
Yeah.
And then they play the Junker before the Iron Bowl, but that's always to end the season. I mean, we knew the Iron Bowl wasn't going to go away anyway. But I was wondering if, because I think LSU would really want that game.
Well, LSU has Alabama, Ole Miss, and Texas A&M.
Okay.
The big rivalry that I tried to protect when I put this together that they did not is the Golden Boot. That's LSU-Arkansas.
Hmm.
They always play Thanksgiving weekend.
Like, right.
That's their final rivalry game. So I'm not sure why they didn't try and keep that. I mean, I don't think LSU has to play Texas A&M, but maybe that was just the way the schedule broke best for all involved here. Texas A&M plays LSU, Texas, and Mississippi State under this scenario. Texas has Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Arkansas. I mean, those feel pretty perfect. Oklahoma has Texas, Missouri, and get this, Florida. Do we need Oklahoma, Florida? Like, where did that come from?
No idea.
Florida has Georgia.
Naturally.
South Carolina.
Okay.
And Oklahoma.
Doesn't hurt my feelings.
South Carolina has Florida, Missouri, and Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And then Missouri has Oklahoma, Arkansas, South Carolina. Arkansas plays Missouri, Texas, and Kentucky. Kentucky plays Mississippi State, Arkansas, and Georgia. Georgia gets Auburn, Florida, and Kentucky. Vanderbilt plays Tennessee, Ole Miss, and Auburn. Auburn does have
Vandy
to play.
Auburn is weird.
Well, Auburn has to play Alabama and Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was like, well, throw them a bone, they can have Vanderbilt.
That's definitely what they did there.
And Vanderbilt obviously has Tennessee, so they're like, yeah, okay, Ole Miss and Auburn. I mean, I don't hate this. Mississippi State plays Ole Miss, of course, Kentucky and Texas A&M.
Strange. Could be worse.
Yeah. I think I read them all, but yeah, pretty sure I did. Oklahoma has Texas, Missouri, and Florida. So we're oddities. LSU no longer plays Arkansas. Tennessee no longer plays Kentucky.
Florida or Georgia.
South Carolina and Georgia don't play. Yeah, Tennessee doesn't play Florida or Georgia every year. So I'm sure Tennessee fans will be.
I mean, we'd play one of those two each year. I imagine they'd break those up, right? Like, you wouldn't pick them both up in the same year.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's if you go to 9 games, which I think that makes the most
sense. I think 9 games is coming.
It almost has to get just all the games in a way that makes sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, Danny White, he's going to do what's best for Tennessee, but also what's best for the conference. Because he has lots of opinions. He can't share any more opinions on what the league's looking at yet.
Why? Doesn't want people to...
He said it would not be appropriate.
Okay.
It's not appropriate for me to share the level of options we're looking at. But I certainly have some opinions, and I've been voicing those.
That's good.
Yeah.
Really insightful.
Voicing those opinions, yeah. Very, very important.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I feel very confident.
Well, he gave a big update on all the renovations and plans, and man, we're going to be building buildings here for a long time.
We have been building buildings for a long time. That's what colleges do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Take all that money, build the buildings.
I want the stadium built first. Forget the buildings.
That's what we're talking about.
Which stadium?
The stadium is a building.
Well, to be fair, I was kind of teaching back here. I didn't really hear what you guys were talking about.
Yeah.
And I don't think a stadium's a building, but.
Stadium's not a building?
No, a stadium is its own.
Category?
Like, yeah.
How do you create a stadium?
Like, a building is the main category. Stadium is the subgenre of building.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like, You know, it's just
complicated. No, I don't know.
It's complicated.
Yeah, it's complicated.
Not a building.
Okay.
All right. We'll come back with more, tell you about what we're building and stadium stuff next.
Now.
Welcome back. Hour three continues.
You never looked up.
I was waiting for the point.
Yeah, you guys are
you
doing
weren't
this
looking
on,
up.
I'm waiting for the point.
Are you guys doing this on purpose to me today or what?
What have I done?
What are we doing? You're the one struggling over there.
Yeah, he never.
That was on you. You got to look at him so he can point.
Okay.
You can't wait on the point if you're not going to see the point. What's he supposed to do? Just hold it up there for years? Mm-hmm. You need to step your game up today.
Okay.
You've allowed Hickman to bring you down. What else did Danny White say? Goodness gracious.
Well, he was talking about, you know, buildings, which I consider the stadium a building, apparently.
We'll talk about renovations. Whether it's a building or a stadium, I really don't care. I don't think the listeners do either.
Let's talk about facilities. You're on pace with Neyland Stadium in the vision.
How about say with some energy.
Of what you had? He said, those were the two projects that made the most sense to move forward with first. I guess I mean the Jumbotron and the West Club or whatever they're calling that over there. We have a lot of work to do there. We have 4 or 5 years worth of work to do in Neyland Stadium.
Oh, boy. Oh, God. He's going to make it the Danny White show over there, which might not be a bad thing. So far, so good.
We are working on a specific plan.
About 65,000 people.
Here pretty
soon. Ticket prices quadrupled.
I would like to be able to tell our fans what that plan looks like.
he's saying he's got a lot of ideas and plans, and then he can't share what they are.
And kind of a schedule on how we get there. These two made the most sense because both of them are revenue positive. They're both profitable. So when you think about the Lower West Club that will generate $4 to $5 million a year, and debt service will be about half that. So that club is going to pay for restroom and concessions that we all know need to get done and don't generate direct revenue. So he's saying your potty experience, him improving it, does not help the bottom line. So we're going to have to deal with these first two renovations first. So
get Did he really say concessions?
So get some money. Yeah, he said concessions.
Isn't that a pretty big revenue generator?
I would think so. The same thing with the north end zone party deck. Obviously, the video board from a fan experience standpoint is going to be huge. There's a whole lot that we can do with that on game day, having two video boards. I'm excited about that. That's what made those two projects a no-brainer, that we could execute them by 2022. There wasn't much we could do that quickly, but they both help us in terms of building a business model, do a whole lot more in that building.
What?
In that building, Hickman.
Oh, sorry, Hickman.
Yeah.
So the extra video board allows them to do a lot more in the stadium?
Mm-hmm.
Like concerts?
I'm excited about them both. I think both kind of modernize that iconic building.
No one's going to like that word.
We want to continue to thread that needle with honoring the tradition and the past of Neyland, but also modernizing it a little bit. I think they accomplished that, and they are significant contributors to a bigger business model to deliver. That's a small fraction of what we need to invest financially into that building. He's now said building three times.
It's up for interpretation what he means by that.
Yeah.
By the time we are done, it's going to be a significant project to set up for the future. I'll paraphrase this next part, but he doesn't want to stop construction between seasons. So he wants to have a new project in the off seasons of 23, 24, and 25. And if we're not done by then, potentially 26. But he wants to start and finish a project in the off season.
Okay, yeah.
He doesn't
that makes sense.
Leave it like, you know.
Unfinished.
Unfinished.
I get that. I got no problem with that. I just wonder what this bad boy is going to look like at the end of his projects.
Right. We don't want it to look like somebody that got too much plastic surgery, you know?
That's a very good way to put that.
Mm-hmm.
You just gave like half of the Tennessee fan base a stroke by reading that.
Then he was asked about baseball. He said, we can't legally hire an architect to design until July. The project right. won't have state final approval until then. It's not officially an approved project within the state process. We have been able to work with an architect on the programming part of it, so we have concepts. We are working with our staff and the baseball staff to make sure that, number one, we are thinking about recruiting and the day-to-day experience of our student-athletes in that building.
Building.
We have great student-athlete development facilities. Where can we get more wow factor to make sure we aren't doing things from a stadium fan standpoint that take away from what I think is the most important part, the student-athlete experience?
Okay.
How that impacts recruiting and our ability to build our program competitively. I think he's saying you got to have good players to win. That has to come first before the fans. It's a weird kind of roundabout way to say that.
He's not wrong.
Kind of makes you feel like he's putting the fans second, but I understand what he's saying. He doesn't want to lose, I'm paraphrasing now, he doesn't want to lose the hornet's nest that Lincoln
okay.
Nelson Stadium is.
Okay, I like that.
He said that's the way Tony put it, called it a hornet's nest. Let's get as many people as close to the field as possible.
Yes, this. All of this.
Mm-hmm. Then having
rowdy people close.
Yeah, having it close to Stokely where athletes live and Smokies, our nutrition center, is a pretty awesome experience. How they, like, you know, practice. And
sure,
stuff.
Sure.
Then some boring stuff. Then he was asked about studying Ole Miss's baseball stadium, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he went on that trip for that reason, didn't he?
Yeah, and some other places about the size. He was asked about size and capacity and if he and Tony had discussed it.
And?
He said, we have.
But I can't tell you about what.
I will use a couple of examples. NFL stadiums that I think would probably check the box when I talk about a more modern approach. Okay. Cowboys Stadium and the stadium in Atlanta, I think both did a good job of having the capacity of seats that can swell to standing room. I think with baseball, with our fan base, people like standing room. People like the social experience of that if you are smart about setting up standing room areas, you can be at a Cowboys game, there can be 60,000 people there, and it looks full. But for a big concert or a big game, it can swell. I don't know what their total capacity is. I think it's over 80,000. They have that much standing room. It doesn't look empty, then there is nobody standing there. We want to be smart about that kind of thinking. We are doing that with Neyland, having a baseball seating capacity that's bigger than what we have now. But just with the footprint, we are not going to be able to be one of the biggest stadiums in college baseball. But with the passion of our fan base for big games, we can be smart about setting it up where there's the opportunity to have a lot more standing room, only party and social spaces where people can come in and we can swell to that bigger attendance number. That's kind of the philosophy we're looking at.
Okay, so what he's worried about, clearly, is optics on TV. Like if it's a homecoming game in Neyland and there's only 65,000 people there, he wants it to look full.
Yeah.
If it's a midweek game against Tennessee Tech, he wants it to look full.
That would probably be full anyways nowadays.
Yeah, it's going to be.
It's a big rivalry.
Well, I mean, this year especially, I mean, every game was sold out once you hit league play, even the midweek games.
I don't know that you can necessarily make Neyland look full when it's, you know, the Troy game on the schedule, but you can at least, I mean, that might be how they try and tell you it's still 100,000. It's like, well, yeah, there's only 90,000 seats in here,
but
or 80,000
we can seats. Swell.
Yeah, we swell to 100. You've just been scarred before. These are all the right answers.
Well,
right?
To this point, there have not been that many sweeping changes. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not worried at all about Lindsey Nelson.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that's the right philosophy to have. You're going to be bound by some footprint issues.
Sure.
Make it a lot bigger, but it's no one expects it to be, you know.
Well, and I love that stadium, but I don't think even the Tennessee baseball diehard purists are going to say, oh, no, we don't want to touch it at all. Like, we need more stuff. It needs to be updated. It needs to be modernized.
Yeah, I mean, they could tear that whole damn thing down and start over if they want to.
I don't think anyone would be upset if he said tomorrow, we're building the stadium across the river. We're building a baseball facility, and it's going to be on the other. Like, I don't think anyone.
But football's
different. You'd roll your eyes, and you'd be like, oh, I'm kind of confused. I don't know. I mean, they're not going to do that. They're not going to take it off campus. But, yeah, if they took it down piece by piece and just built it up in the same spot, but it looked completely different, I don't think people would be upset. You do that to Neyland Stadium, and you make that feel, I mean, do we want it to feel like Jerry's World on the inside? Like the Mercedes-Benz Dome? I don't think so.
I mean,
it's a Coliseum. It's a special, special place. But so I'm wondering, like, what is that? You know, what are you thinking for Neyland Stadium? Lindsey Nelson, with Tony's input, if everyone says, because at this point, this is Tony's program. So whatever he wants, I think everyone's going to say yes, give him whatever he wants. Neyland Stadium is very different. It's very personal to people. And I worry that, you know, I think the exterior, when they did, I can't even remember what year that was, when they put all the brick up and they made it look somewhat modern, I think it looks good. I don't think people cared about that. You start messing with the inside a lot, I think you're going to get a lot of pushback if you do it wrong. And I worry he might try to do a little too much with Neyland Stadium. I mean, 4 years of off-season construction plans? That's...
maybe five.
Well, yeah, I wasn't even counting the one that they're in now.
Right, yeah.
And a lot of people did not like that at all.
He might...
especially the party deck.
Well, he might consider some smaller projects still construction where people don't really even notice it being a thing.
Oh, sure, yeah, like bathrooms and concessions. Yeah. I get all that. I'm just... yeah. Like, when you fly over Neyland Stadium and look down... I don't think that view should change all that much, if that makes sense. Like, who was it? Was it John Curry that wanted, like, the field-level suite boxes? Like, I'm not a big fan of that stuff. Just not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they wanted to do it, like, maybe in the end zone corners a little bit to give space if somebody's running a fade route in the back of the end zone, okay, maybe, because then you could... because I've thought that was a safety concern for a while. But if we start just, I mean, pricing out the common fan so that we can have all this glass and, I don't know. It's just, it needs to always look like Neyland Stadium, if that makes sense.
In NFL games, they're more of social events to me anyways.
Exactly. College football is not that way.
Like, if you go to a college football game, you are going because you have a deep, deep investment in the program, in the school, in the community. If you go to an NFL game, you might just go just for the heck of it.
I think it depends, right? Like, I think in Buffalo, you're going for the game. Like, and then they're tailgating in 20-degree weather all day. They're jumping off of cars onto tables. Like, Buffalo has a more college kind of feel.
But like you Kansas go to, City does too. But like,
yeah, Kansas City.
You're not going to a Raiders game
no.
to watch the Raiders. You're going just because you can want to go and see the stadium
right.
and just hang out.
Rams, you like SoFi. Now, Jerry's World's a little bit different because Cowboys fans are – incredibly, you know, diehard. But I'd say that's a probably, what, 50-50?
Yeah.
Type thing?
Like, people will go there just to, like, oh, you know, I just want to see what the stadium looks like. It's kind of bucket list, you know?
Yeah. I think you would go to, like, Lambeau would be very different. Lambeau would be, I'm going to see this historic, amazing place. And I'm going to, I mean, as a non-Packers fan, I wouldn't be going because, you know, I'm a diehard Packers fan. But that would be, yeah, like a bucket list type trip. I don't think, at least at this point, people think, oh, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, bucket list.
No.
I don't think it's viewed that way. And I just don't want to kill the pageantry of Neyland Stadium with bells and whistles.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me.
Well, we'll come back. Final segment of the program. He was asked about his view of neutral site games versus home and home. So stick around for that.
You're listening to 3 and Out, WKGN, Fan Run Radio.
Your heating and air system is the biggest energy user in your home. Small ripples in your system's efficiency can cause big waves in your utility bills. That's why you need Blue...
Final segment of the program.
Tournament time. In 30 minutes, actually.
Long as it's
well,
not.
38 minutes.
Is it raining?
That's a good question.
check the latest weather. 70 degrees in Hoover. Not really at the moment, but a 45% chance at 11 a.m. So it could start at any moment. It goes back down a little, then back up a little. We'll see how it goes.
It looks like there's some rain moving in.
Okay.
First game should start on time, though.
All right.
Yeah, that looks...
Danny White was asked, in terms of future scheduling, what is your philosophy regarding neutral site games versus home and away series?
Mm-hmm.
He said, I think you'll like this, Houston, along with our fan base. Obviously, the most important thing to us is games in Neyland Stadium. The experience on our campus.
Didn't he just set up a game in Nissan against Virginia?
I'll get to that. Okay. The experience on our campus and all of that. We want that for our fans, student-athletes, competitive reasons, recruiting. We want to be in Neyland Stadium as much as possible. We are scheduled out through, I think, 32. That's 10 years, by the way. But who's counting? So there's not a ton of opportunities to look at neutral sites. I'm not overtly against neutral site opportunities. Obviously, we just agreed to one in Nashville. But only when it makes sense for us considering all those factors. In this instance, there wasn't an opportunity to play in Neyland Stadium. So it's not like we were taking away a game from our campus to play in Nashville.
That's true.
Why couldn't they have scheduled somebody for Neyland?
I think they probably could have.
Yeah, I don't think that's an accurate statement. They could have found some podunk team that would.
Well, maybe they wanted, you know,
and collected the check. Having said that, Nashville is a huge priority for us. That city needs to be as orange as it was 20 years ago. We need to get back to. I don't think that'll ever happen because all the people just moving in.
We got to convert them.
They're not even football fans.
Yeah.
It's not like they pull for somebody else. They just don't even. Having said that, Nashville is a huge priority for us. That city needs to be as orange as it was 20 years ago. I know I've read those two sentences before. We need to get back to that, and that's not just about playing games. We need to be more intentional in our marketing efforts and those things to engage Nashville. I think it's a very important market for us from an alumni standpoint, a new student standpoint, and a student-athlete recruiting standpoint.
More billboards.
We are going to continue to find ways to enhance our brand in Nashville. That's why we are excited about the game there in 2023.
I can buy that.
He wants to play in Neyland Stadium, except when he doesn't.
But then it's going to be Nashville. We're not going to Atlanta, Jerry's World. We're not doing that. We're going to Nashville. That's actually a pretty good idea, though, especially if they do end up building the new stadium, to have a good relationship with the city of Nashville and the Titans. I think that's smart.
Yeah.
All right, predictions for today's games. Game one, Alabama, Georgia.
Georgia.
Bama.
I think I'm going to say Georgia, but that nothing would surprise me. Game two, South Carolina, Florida.
Florida.
10 seed South Carolina, 7 Florida.
Florida.
I'm going to take South Carolina in that one. Mississippi and Vandy. Ole Miss, the 9 seed. Vanderbilt, the 8. Winner gets Tennessee tomorrow.
Vandy.
Depends on the pitch, right? I'll take Ole Miss.
I think I'm leaning Vandy.
Wouldn't you think both teams would kind of want to play it safe with pitching, not really use their best guy available today and have him ready for
the win? Yeah,
you'd
think
tomorrow.
So, but if you lose, you're going home. So,
unless you just use your best guy today and then give him a week and a half off, basically.
Yeah, that's true. Last game, Kentucky, Auburn.
But that best guy probably just pitched Friday, maybe.
Yep,
or,
that's a good point.
I guess Thursday. I don't know. Who?
Kentucky, Auburn.
Auburn.
Kentucky with the upset. Screw you, Sonny DeShera.
Sonny D.
I'll take Auburn in the final game there.
Break it all down tomorrow. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.
If you or a loved one has been injured in an automobile accident, you deserve